Today the theme is, as you see, a letter from heaven. And this is a great text, but it's just an introduction to the real deal, I think, next week that Pastor Rick's going to preach on. What he's going to preach on next week is what led me into the Holy Spirit for the first time when I was 19 years old, led me into the ministry when I heard what he's going to preach on next week. I'd never heard that in my home church that was very rigid. Did not talk at all about the Holy Spirit except the Athanasian Creed that we read once a year, which is about this long. Anyway, but today we're talking about a letter from heaven, and I'm going to read it from the Message. Does it sound like we're patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our credentials, asserting our authority? Well, we're not. Neither do we need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsements we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. We couldn't be more sure of ourselves than this, that you, written by Christ himself for God, are our letters of recommendation. We wouldn't think of writing this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out this new plan of action for covenant. The plan wasn't written out with ink on paper, with pages and pages of legal footnotes killing your spirit. Listen to this. It's written with spirit, capital S, on spirit, small s. His life on our lives. It's written with spirit on spirit, which I love, right? That's when it happens, right? That's when it all happens, when our connection with God, the kingdom of God happens, is spirit upon spirit. God's spirit connecting with your spirit. If you don't have that, you don't have Christianity. If you don't have that, you don't have Christ. If you don't have that, you don't even have God the Father. If you don't have that, you don't have real church. You're just playing games. I played a lot of games, just going through ritual emotions without a heart really engaged in worship. When Jesus Christ comes to us, he changes us completely, including our worship, including the rest of our lives. And we can't but help but sing, I'm overwhelmed by your beauty. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are glorious. And we praise him and worship him. That's worship. That's spirit-led worship. Right, Daryl? Daryl's talking. We're going to talk about this, Daryl. We're going to talk. Because Daryl is Mr. Romans, and his life was turned around by Romans, and this connects a lot with that, a lot with it. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the whole idea is, as Pastor Rick had mentioned before, this whole thing in the Corinthian church, oh boy, he wrote four letters there, he was going to visit him, and it was like some bad stuff going on, really, really bad stuff that even pagans would blush at. And so you had this going on, and yet you had the Spirit very active in this church with spiritual gifts and a lot going on because Paul is affirming them very much here in this letter. But then you had some wiseacres coming in, some critics coming in, who said, well, Paul he's off, and he's way off, and he's taking away our traditions and our laws, and we must post these laws, and we must live by these laws, and yes, you can have Jesus, but you have to do the law in order to be saved. And they were thinking that Paul was watering down the truth. Far from it. They thought he's watering it down. They said, who is this wise guy? He says he had a vision from Jesus, knocked off his horse literally, and changed his life. What happened to Paul? We used to really like him. What happened to you, Paul? You used to be one of us. Well, Jesus turned him around because he visited him on the road to Damascus, right? And by the way, talking about letters of recommendation, Paul, he was looking for letters of recommendation to put Christians to prison. That's the kind of letters he started off with. He had all these letters saying he had authority to put Christians in prison. Jesus appeared to him, and all of a sudden now, Paul's talking about a whole lot different thing than that, the letters from heaven, new letters, letters of recommendation of Jesus Christ. Totally turned his life around. So if you think someone can't be changed, look at Paul. If God can change Saul to Paul, he can change any of our relatives, any of our enemies, he can turn them around. Anybody. Amen. No exclusions, right? Which is the power of the gospel, the power of the cross that we were saying earlier. Some great songs today. So having said that, Paul was helping the congregation realize that he was indeed called by God. If you know that God's called you to do something, does it matter really what other people say about you? Do you have to have their affirmation for you to do what God's calling you to do? If you know for sure it's of God and the Word confirms it, it shouldn't matter to us, right? We shouldn't take a poll, put it on YouTube or the Internet and say, okay, here's SurveyMonkey. Okay, now do you think I should do this? Do you think I should do that? You know. Yes, we need godly counsel, but we don't have to have approval of everybody else in order to do what God calls us to do, right? When we know it's the Holy Spirit, we go. And that's the whole thing of Pentecost. It's the church on the go, not just church sitting in a building. That is a deadly lie of Satan where people say, well, I just go to church. That's all I have to do. That's just a little bit of our Christian faith, right? It should be all through. Anyway, so Paul is getting criticized severely by some saying, well, now he's not all that, and he's not really a pastor. He's an imposter pastor. He's not the real deal. We're the real deal. Look at us. We speak more fluently and articulate, or with more articulation. We support your traditions. Listen to us. Don't listen to that guy. He's not even here with you. He said he was going to come and talk to you. He didn't even send a letter. What kind of a pastor is that? Well, he's got about 600 churches. Anyway, he's kind of busy. And sometimes we have to set boundaries, right? And come, we need to go when God calls us to go, not when we or somebody else's go. You can have the right mission at the wrong time, right? You can have the right word at the wrong time. An untimely word is not good. Another time, it's the right word. And the right action, it's all the way the Holy Spirit brings it all together, which I love watching when the Holy Spirit brings people together and you see this divine networking going on behind the scenes, right? And that's what Paul's all about, is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit activating, invigorating people, bringing them together and affirming them. And he had the affirmation of the Holy Spirit by the miracles that were happening, by the word that was preached, and by those who came to know Christ and were lives were transformed. That's the letters of those are the letters of recommendation Paul had. He didn't have official letters from his district or his board saying this Paul is indeed called by God. His was straight from God. He had a calling, right? So he said that. He said, we're not patting ourselves on the back, insisting on our own credentials. He didn't say, oh, here's all my degrees and here's all my education. He didn't post his little diplomas there in his office, in his tent office, say, well, here. In fact, he said, that's all garbage. All that stuff is garbage. All that man-made education and all that's garbage, when you compare it and contrast it with the Holy Spirit, that's where it's at. Boy, I didn't learn that in seminary. Anyway, so the letters of recommendation. Now, in our day, today, you ever want to check out a restaurant? You heard all about it, so you go on the Internet and get the Yelp reviews, right? I realize you can't always trust those reviews sometimes, right? I was naive. Well, it says it's a good place, 5 stars. Oh, well, I would never go anywhere else. And then you go and it tastes like dog food. But so you have to be careful who you trust in those letters of recommendation that we see online, right? And we may wonder, what's that all about? And so there are some newspapers and other organizations that will have the mystery shopper go into a store and kind of incognito, hidden, and will check out the service, check out the product, and then write letters or magazine articles or whatever. And they'll talk about the food or whatever the merchandise is that they're selling and say, this is what I found out. In fact, would you believe this? There's a pastor, a couple pastors have done this, one in particular here in Phoenix, who's called the mystery worshiper, who attends churches and writes reviews. I'm not kidding you. And he's very high church, very, very ritualistic. And he attended a church that is a charismatic Episcopal church. And they have the dancing deacon, as he called it. He says, how undignified to have the deacon wearing a robe and dancing around like Panda Bear. And they said, this is distasteful to the church. And he went on and on, just tearing down this church. Right? Amen to that. But it was just tearing it apart and using legalistic base for it, saying, this is wrong and that's wrong. And in fact, there's a pastor, I shouldn't say a whole lot right now publicly about it, but there's a pastor who's written some letters about our own church, our association, LCMC, criticizing the speakers coming to our gathering in Denver, and he's not Lutheran. He's a strong Christian, and he believes that we make a decision for Christ, that we are moved to the point we say yes to Jesus Christ. He says, no, we don't say yes to Jesus Christ, only the Holy Spirit moves us. but he's so picky about it. He's saying, he talks about that I found Jesus and I experienced him, and that's not true. Well, it is true. We do find Jesus. We do experience him. Yes, underneath of the Holy Spirit. What? We accept the gift. And we can only do that by the Spirit. The Spirit moves our hand to accept that gift, but we do accept it. We do experience it. There is some activity on our part. We're not just like stone and rock and just kind of, okay, here, I'm making you have this. Now you better enjoy it. But anyway, having said all that, there's a lot of critics out there still today. Paul has critics. We're going to have our critics, right? Pastor? And you can't win. You can't please everybody. But we are called, and Paul was called to please one person. That was Jesus Christ. He was from one extreme to the other. From one extreme, pleasing the church, all the rules and rituals, to now turning over back to that and only facing Jesus Christ, only wanting to serve Him totally, completely, day in, day out, minute by minute by minute, which is amazing. So the letter of recommendation that Paul has is Jesus Christ. He says, well, we're not looking for patting ourselves on the back. We don't need letters of endorsement, either to you or from you. You yourselves are all the endorsement we need. Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Wow. So Paul's endorsement are the people out there impacted by his ministry, seeing their lives change. He said, that's all the endorsement we need, that God's working in you. And the same for us. Our endorsement, the reason we get up in the morning, the reason we serve as pastors or leaders in the council, is because Jesus, first of all, and secondly, you. You are our legacy. As we pass it on to people younger than us, hoping that you carry on this message after we're gone, that it continues. And so we sit back a lot of times when we talk, and we'll say, man, that was an awesome service. And sometimes we just go over and over and recount what happened in the service, what happened in the Spanish and English service and Bible classes, and Wednesday night, right? And Tuesday in Celebrate Recovery, and Friday in the jail, and Saturday in the jail, and Thursday in the jail, and all the times in the jail, and how God's bringing people from the jail. And wow, they bring so much blessing to us. We think we're blessing them, and they come to us. And the care center, yes. It's just this little church. And pastors were talking the other day, said, if we wrote down everything that God's been doing in our church with all the people and all the changes and all the projects and all the ministries going on and on and on, it's overwhelming. It's the new book of Acts continuing. It's chapter 29. Acts 29. There's only 28 chapters in Acts. We're Acts 29, where it continues. Acts not of the apostles, but of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit's still moving. That's why we have the red. It's the fire of God, the fuego de Dios in Espanol, that talks about, that moves us. And that's what moved Paul and his people. So Paul's sitting back, he says, I'm not worried about it. Look at all these people that are impacted by the gospel. Not by him, but by Jesus. And he says, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit. You are Christ's love letter to someone else. They may not come to church and listen to us preach. So they read you. They watch you. They see you. And they go, wow, Hector's a different guy. What's with him? Man, he does more than just hang garage doors or whatever. He's doing other things. He's doing it with a smile, and he's always happy. What's with that? And all the changes we see in CR, right? And the explosive worship we had at CR. What's with these people? My goodness sakes. They're celebrating recovery. Not just tolerating, say, well, I used to have a great life, I used to really party it up, but now I go to church and I go to these meetings because the court says I have to go to them. I have the court mandated. But we want to be there, right? And the music, Sarah picks this great music, and it just uplifts us and it brings us to another level. That's the change of the Holy Spirit. And so what's happened in CR, for instance, just one example, Robert and Sarah, their letters of recommendation. They don't need for us to write down, well, now Robert went to two years of school and training, and Sarah went to the Saddleback and learned from the guru out there in California. No. The endorsement is, come and see what's going on in CR. And it's been amazing the last couple of years. So thank you for your leadership and all of you that are doing so many things. Yes, thank you to you. Thank you to it's the ministry of the people, not of the pastors. We're the bottleneck. If it's just around us, the bottleneck is up here. the bottles like this, if everything's just clogged up, like, oh, the pastor's got to do it, the pastor's got to do it, not a whole lot happens. But if you get past the bottleneck, past us, to all of you doing things, using your spiritual gifts and talents and abilities for the glory of God out there, the impact is enormous. It multiplies the ministry as just adding another pastor to a staff. It's not about adding staff. It's adding disciples. And the early church, as Pastor Rich mentioned, there wasn't this big distinction between pastor, reverend doctor, and a regular person. We're all regular people, changed to irregular people by the Holy Spirit. Right, Daryl? And now, so you are a letter. What kind of letter are you? What kind of a commercial are you? I remember one time when we had VeggieTales. We had to put on VeggieTales at our VBS at Ahwatukee, at Family Christ, and they had me dressed up as Larry the Cucumber. I shouldn't be saying this. I shouldn't be talking about it because I'll never hear the end of it. Or so Larry the Cucumber, the tomato. Well, somebody was a tomato. I was a cucumber. We had all these different, and I'm going, I did not go to seminary for this. At first, I was really embarrassed by it, but then I really got a lot of fun with it. Now I love VeggieTales. And I thought, well, at least they didn't make me go stand out on Chandler Boulevard and bring people in on Sunday morning dressed by like a cucumber. But anyway, we are all walking advertisements for Jesus Christ, right? And the question is, what kind of a commercial are you for Christ? What kind of? Because there are some that try to promote something. Some of these stupid commercials. I am so sick of the sports radio, and not enough to turn it off. But the commercials, between what we talked about last week, all the garbage, these pagans, unbelievers, and the stupid commercials over and over again, they're so annoying. I just want to... So I'll change the channel in the commercial. So some commercials, I think, work opposite. They're so distasteful and disgusting and stupid, really stupid, that I would not want to bother with that product. The same with us. We can... And there's so many people that say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I go to church. And their lives are such opposite of that. They're a commercial for the devil instead of a commercial for Christ. And they turn people off. And they say, well, why should I go to church? Well, these people are hypocrites. And why should I? You know, they do... And there's been studies shown of Christians in business that there's some Christians that are unethical. And sometimes they try to take advantage of people or other Christians just because they're Christian. That's not Christianity. We should go the extra mile for our brothers and sisters, not say, well, can you do something for me because you're another Christian? Can I get a discount? No. A discount's grace. That's it. The best discount in the world is you're saved by God's grace, not by good works. Which leads me to the other thing. And that is the law and self-effort and self-help will not change us. Right, Daryl? It has to be Jesus. It has to be the Holy Spirit. Because in Romans 6, it talks about the fact that we are united with Christ. And it also talks about the fact in Romans 8 that what Romans 7 talks about, how, and Daryl can say it longer than me, is that I'm a wretched person. I want to do this, but I can't do it. And the bad I don't want to do, that's what I do. Why do I keep doing this? And we don't have the power. But then Paul realized, as he would rest on the Holy Spirit, that the gospel, the new covenant of Jesus, does for you what the law can never do. The law condemns, it kills, it's good, but it can never give you the power to change your life. Only Jesus, only the Holy Spirit can change you. So the churches that talk about just running you down and laws and legalism and all that does not help. There's a big mega church that is well known, but when I've met people and talked to people from that church, usually within 5 minutes, I feel condemned by them. They'll pick up something that they don't like, and they look at the negative of everybody. I went to a wedding. There's a bunch of people from this church, and sure enough, going around after about 5 minutes, all the conversations, all of them went negative. They all went negative. Well, this is wrong, and this is wrong. That's not the focus of our church. Yes, we confront firmly with the law, but then we also bring the grace of God to everybody. We all need God's grace, right? So, anyway, the law won't do it. And that's what Paul says here. His letter authorizes us to help carry out this new plan of action. The plan wasn't written with ink on paper. Well, I love this. With pages and pages of legal footnotes. That's what a lot of churches all are, just footnotes. If you look something, want to read a book, you say, let's read the footnotes. Let's read the references. Oh, who cares about that, right? But a church based on legalism, or a life built on legalism, is like, my whole life is a footnote. It's just the references and legal footnotes, and it's worthless, right? It's worthless. You're missing the whole story that's in the book. And Paul says this kills your spirit. Church is a kill spirit. They kill spiritual life. And I remember one time in Crucio, a pastor saying, why don't you Lutherans let your spirit come out and play with Jesus? I like that. His term of worship is, let your spirit come out and worship with Jesus, like that sermon hymn we just did. I'm so overwhelmed. If we're all caught up on how we look and the rightness of things, we'll miss the intimacy and the joy of being spirit to spirit connected there through that worship service and that worship song, rather, right? And that's what happens here. When Daryl talks, or you talk, and Harold talks, it makes my faith go up. And then in Bible class, we'll talk today about Psalms, and we'll all encourage each other. And that's when the Spirit connects with other spirits through the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's all about. It's the Holy Spirit. In jail, we're watching a DVD in Spanish on the book of Acts. And it really is amazing when they portray Pentecost. And you know what the story of Pentecost? 50 days after Easter is Pentecost. So today's Pentecost Sunday. I can't believe it's been 50 days since Easter. Come on. Really? But it was. It is. But 50 days after Easter, Jesus ascended to heaven 40 days after Easter, right? On Ascension Day. And the disciples were all raring to go. And Jesus said, please, Peter, especially you, all of you, do not go anywhere until you have the Holy Spirit. Wait until the power comes upon you. Then go. Don't, Peter, please. Don't go out and do anything right now. Peter's always, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So they actually did sit and they prayed for like 10 days. And then on this Sunday, Pentecost Day, this big rushing wind comes in that room they were praying, and there's little tongues of fire on their head. They were so full of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God was so intense, flame were coming out of their heads, shooting out of their heads. Sometimes when we lay hands on people, our hands are on fire and their heads are on fire. We feel that intense heat and we're praying for people. That's the Holy Spirit activating and working right then and there. And no one taught me that in seminary. Shame on them, you know. The activating the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to really do some ministry, really do some work with the unction and the anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Through the risen, and it's all Jesus. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is activating in us when we lay hands on one another, when we pray for one another. So that's what's going on. And we forget all that if we focus on ourselves or on things, but we focus on Jesus and we get in that connection with Him. It is absolutely amazing what the Holy Spirit does. So that's what happened. The wind come down, the fire upon them, and they're speaking different languages, and this joy. And it shows in this film, all of a sudden they're like, oh, something's happening to them. And then later on, when the Holy Spirit came upon others, and the disciples saw, not heard, but saw that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what did they see? They saw them, just their posture changed. All of a sudden they're worshiping with a different type of spirit than they ever had before. There's this new joy and new love and new hope and new life to them. And it shows us in this movie. It's really cool. I'd love to show that to the seminary. See, this is what happened in Acts. Why do you put cold water on that? You know, because of abuses, I know. But the point is, you're going to have a good text next Sunday. Because this sets it all, huh? I know you do. So this is setting up for next week. This is just the introduction of the new covenant, of the letters from heaven authenticating what Pastor Rick's going to preach on next week. Because, wow. That's the next 2 weeks is some awesome stuff of 2 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 4 that are some of the richest words anyone has ever written anywhere, anytime, any book. So please come back the next 2 weeks because it's going to be awesome. So thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit, for Jesus, and for you. All of you are our letters of recommendation. So we thank you. We praise God for you. And please bring in others in our family here so they can be part of the party and the fiesta that we're having here. Not the siesta, but the fiesta in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks be to God.